the Gospel of Mark, and we'll read from Mark chapter 4, about halfway through Mark 4. We'll start reading at verse 21 and read to the end of the chapter. Mark chapter 4, beginning at verse 21. And Jesus said to them, "Is a lamp brought to be put under a basket or under a bed? Is it not to be set on a lampstand? For there is nothing hidden which will not be revealed, nor has anything been kept secret but that it should come to light. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear." Then he said to them, "Take heed what you hear. With the same measure you use, it will be measured to you. And to you who hear, more will be given. For whoever has, to him more will be given. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him." And he said, "The kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground and should sleep by night and rise by day, and the seed should sprout and grow. He himself does not know how. For the earth yields crops by itself, first the blade and then the head, and that the full grain in the head. But when the grain ripens, immediately he puts in the sickle, because the harvest has come." Then he said, "To what shall we liken the kingdom of God? Or with what parable shall we picture it? It is like a mustard seed, which when it is sown on the ground is smaller than all the seeds of the earth. But when it is sown, it grows up and becomes greater than all the herbs and shoots out large branches, so that the birds of the air may nest under its shade." And with many such parables, he spoke the word to them as they were able to hear it. But without a parable, he did not speak to them. And when they were alone, he explained all things to his disciples. On the same day, when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us cross over to the other side." Now when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was. And other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" Then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said to them, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, "Who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him?" And here ends the reading of God's holy and inspired word. May God bless that hearing to our hearts and to our minds. We've been looking at some of these parables of the kingdom, and today we're looking at verses 21 through 25 in Mark chapter 4, verses 21 through 25, and it's a parable that many of us know from a popular children's gospel song from the 1920s, a song about hiding a light under a basket. And the parable is quite simple as Jesus presents it, but it has huge gospel implications that ought to be an encouragement to all of those who are in Christ. Now, we have this parable, verses 21 through 25, and it is a simple question. The question, does anyone light a lamp and hide it under a bed or put a basket over it? And that's Jesus' question. The parable in its simplicity, does someone light a light or a lamp, hide it under the bed, or put a basket over it? And Jesus calls on us to think and to meditate on this question. And we're going to begin this evening with the first way we'll look at this under the heading, Light Exposed. Light Exposed. Verse 21 in the parable, is a lamp brought in to be put under a basket or hid under a bed instead of being put on a stand? Now, when we hear the question or the parable by way of this question, the answer is obvious to all of us. We could go around the room and ask the question, do we light a light to hide it under a bed, or do we light a light to put a basket over it? And we could go through the room and everyone would find the answer to be so obvious that no one would miss it. The answer is we do not do that. You do not light a light to put it under a bed or hide it under a basket. Light is intended to be used. So what is the lamp? I'm sure that the image is in some of your mind. It's a clay bowl that is thrown, and then you pinch one end so that you have something that looks like maybe a sauce boat, and that's the ancient lamp. The wick goes into the pinched end, and there's oil in it, and it's lit on the end. A simple clay lamp, a simple clay lamp that is the main light source in the ancient Middle Eastern towns and farms and family homes. Really, even in archaeology, one of the most common things found throughout the Middle East are these lamps, whether they're intact or broken. So something daily used, something that would have been known by the hearers of Jesus, and Jesus knows that as he asks the question, that those that would have been familiar with the lamps, which is everybody in his audience, that they would know that the answer is absolutely not. You do not hide light. It's a commodity that must be shown. It's the purpose of lighting it. It's intended to be exposed. And that's what Jesus wants them to consider. Now, we need to remember that Jesus uses this same parable in other gospels as well. So Jesus says, this light is to be exposed. That's what he wants them to consider. And when we look at Mark in comparison with the other gospel writers, we see this parable show up in the Sermon on the Mount. You remember that from Matthew. And there Matthew says, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all the house. Let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works. So in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, 6, and 7, Jesus uses this parable to say that Christians, to say that you are the light and you are to be the light as you go out into the world, and you're to let light shine within the world. Be the light so that people may glorify your Father in heaven. And you look at the whole of the Sermon on the Mount, be light by being poor in spirit, be light by mourning for sin, be light by being meek in the face of anger, be light by hungering and thirsting after righteousness, be light by being merciful towards those in need and pure in heart and peacemaking among men. So that's all there in the Sermon on the Mount. But I want you to consider this. Mark does not record the Sermon on the Mount. Like if we read straight through the Gospel of Mark, the Sermon on the Mount isn't there. Some of the things from the Sermon on the Mount are scattered throughout the Gospel of Mark. But here, Mark places this parable in the midst of the kingdom parables, and the Sermon on the Mount is not there. Now, why am I telling you this? Is this just, you know, intellectual fodder, something to talk about? I want you to understand that Mark is doing something different. In Greek, Mark says that, or asks the question, is the lamp to be hid under a bed or a basket? Is the lamp, not just a lamp, general, but the lamp, specific. You see, what Mark is doing is this parable is being used differently. This isn't, is a light hidden and you go out and be light of the world, and the application to be light in a dark world. Mark is using the parable differently, or it's better to say Jesus uses the parable differently in Mark, where Jesus takes the parable and he says, the light is not to be hidden. Now, why is that significant? It's significant because the application, the primary application of the text in Mark is not you and me as Christians, it's Jesus Christ. Specifically, Jesus is the light in Mark, where in Matthew, Christians are the light. You remember John 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the light was the light of men. The light shines in darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. See, Jesus Christ is the light shining in darkness, and darkness has not and will not overcome that light who is Jesus Christ. In John 8, Jesus says, I am the light of the world. So the lamp here is Jesus. And when we think about how light is used in the Scriptures, and we look at the Old Testament frequently uses light as an image of both the presence of God as well as the coming of the Messiah. So the coming of Christ described as light and the presence of God as light. 2 Samuel 22, you are my lamp, O Lord. Psalm 132, speaking of the Messiah, I will make a horn to sprout for David. I have prepared a lamp for my anointed. Friends, Christ here is the light. And he's telling his people that he will be that light in darkness. And as the light comes and exposes darkness, what happens? Darkness flees at the presence of light, doesn't it? This room is very, very dark at night. If the lights are not on, we were here this weekend. I haven't had much time to find where all the light switches were. And when I found the light switch, the room was really dark. And the second light switch that I found lit these tracks on the end. And the darkness scatters, because light fills the room. And Jesus here is that light. He's telling his people that light will retreat at his presence. It retreats. It is overcome. And this is Jesus' purpose in the world. Why does Christ come? He comes that darkness would flee. He comes that light would expose darkness and darkness would scatter. Now, where does this begin? It begins in the hearts and minds of those that come to Jesus Christ. It begins as we look to Him by faith and we cling to the cross and realize that darkness has no lasting power over you when you are in the light. But I want you to notice what Jesus does here. He asks a question concerning hiding the light, and then he says in verse 22 that nothing is hidden except that it's to be made manifest, nor is anything secret except it will come to light. So he's saying that there is this darkness that is going to be exposed, or these secrets that are made manifest. So secondly, we see light and closed. Light and closed. Does one hide it under a basket or under a bed? And of course, no. Now, some of you may find answers that make sense for why you would have a light under your bed or why you would have a light under your basket. You know, there's a teenage boy section in the back corner that probably when we get home tonight will give me the 75 reasons why you could have a light under your bed or a light under a basket. But the obvious answer that Jesus is giving is no, that's not something that we do. And what he's getting at in telling us this is the purpose in his coming as the Messiah may at this time be hidden to the original hearers. Remember the idea of the messianic secret, or Jesus saying his time is not yet, and Jesus not revealing who he is to certain people that he meets, or telling people, don't go out and spread this around that I'm the Messiah. The purpose of the kingdom will make itself manifest. Jesus Christ will be that light. But here at this time, there is something of an enclosing of the light that Jesus is doing for a specific purpose. Remember, there's demons that recognize him, fishermen that have recognized him, those that have been healed recognized him, and he said, don't tell. And what Jesus is doing is he's pressing on and pressing on and pressing on to the cross so that he may secure the salvation of God's people. And think about that in reference to verse 22. There's nothing hidden except it will be made manifest, nor anything secret except that which will come to light. It's as if Jesus is saying, right here in this context, for this purpose, light is hidden. There is a hiding of the light that occurs, but that light will expose itself. The light will be shown. And this is what happens in the gospel, isn't it? Christ is exposed as King. Christ is exposed as the light of the world, the sovereign who has been given a kingdom and power and dominion, and all authority on heaven and earth has been given to him, and even hell itself being given over to his authority, and the heavens will be opened to all of those that he's welcomed, and the kings of the earth will bow in his presence. And he tells us that every tribe and tongue and nation will bow in worship to him because he is the Lord of lords and the King of kings. But here in Mark 4, it's not what we've seen yet. We've seen something of a hidden light, something of a light that is enclosed and not yet fully manifest for the world to see. We see a servant that suffers. We see, as we read this morning, a man of sorrows acquainted with grief. We see in the Gospels a man who has nowhere to lay his head, no home on this earth. We see one whose family members have just accused him of going out of his mind. This family has said he's crazy. He's gone insane. We have religious leaders that have spent their entire lives studying a book that is intended to point them to Christ, and they miss it. They fail. And yet, the question remains, where is Christ? Is he hiding? Is he under the bed? Is he in a basket? Where is the light? Jesus says, all that is hidden will be made manifest. All that is secret will come to light. Jesus will die with mocking words written above his head in Greek, Latin, and Hebrew. King of the Jews. The whole world mocking him. The one who is King of the Jews. And that truth will be made manifest. That truth was made manifest. He will suffer and die and rise from the dead and ascend to the right hand of God. And from there, he will reign forevermore. That which is hidden will be made manifest. And that which is secret will be brought to light. Have you considered this? Have you considered this Jesus? Have you bowed your knee and your heart to this Christ who is King? Have you repented of sin and bowed your head to Christ? It's a serious, heartfelt question. In this parable, Jesus would be revealed, and that revelation is for you as well. Is this Jesus one who reigns over you? This light was enclosed for a season, but it will not remain. This light will shine forth as the light of the world, for Jesus says that he will not remain hidden. This light will go forth. He is the light of the world. Thirdly, this evening, that light must be extended. Light extended. Verses 23 and 25 seem to be a little bit cryptic, but I want to break them down for you. Jesus says, if anyone has ears, let them hear. And he says, pay attention to what you hear. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and more will be added to you. For the one who has, more will be given, and the one who has not, even what he has, will be taken away. And you hear that, and you say, Pastor Nathan, I'm not sure what that means at all. I don't understand that in the context of light. Why does he go from talking about light and hiding it under a bed or putting a basket on it? And then he goes and he talks about this measure and a measure you've got and how much you're measuring. And I don't understand where Jesus is saying here. I want you to hear this. Jesus says, listen, Romans 10 tells us that faith comes by hearing. Hear of Jesus Christ, who is light of the world. Are you listening for his voice? Are you listening for this Christ as he is exposed? And then from that, from he who has ears, let him hear, which you understand, there is this call where he begins to talk about measuring. He says, with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. What is he talking about here? Well, Jesus is making a play on words in relationship to that basket that is covering the light. He says that that basket is what we would call a peck. You know, you can think of an 8-quart basket used for measuring and for gathering produce. And in the ancient world, you would take your peck to the marketplace and you would get what you need for the day or for the week. And you would use that. You would take that into the fields. You would use that as your sales. And that basket, that 8-quart basket, would be something that would be very familiar to all of us. And what Jesus is doing is he's playing on that. And he's saying that there are those that take that basket and they cover the light. That's the basket it's being placed under. But he says to take that basket that you use for gathering and use that for the good of your own soul. This light that is hidden to some and revealed to others, this light that extends and it grows and it invites you to come and to participate in this harvest of your own soul. Jesus says, you've all got a basket. There's some that have looked at this light and have covered it. They don't want this light exposing the darkness in their lives. There are those that want this light covered so that they don't have to see Christ and they don't have to come to terms with who Jesus Christ is. And there's others that take this basket and they begin to feed and they begin to fill and they begin to take all that they need being given to them from the Lord Jesus, and they begin to feed their souls and they begin to feed their homes and they begin to care for their spiritual well-being. Jesus says, measure it out. And for those of you that fill the basket will be there again to be filled. You can have all that is yours, all that you want of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you can take that into your spiritual life. Are you hearing? Are you measuring? Are you coming to Christ and filling that basket? And I'll tell you guys, we live in the greatest time in the history of the world when it comes to the possibility of filling your basket with spiritually good things. There was a time when a Bible like this would cost thousands upon thousands upon thousands of dollars, and they wouldn't be in homes. There would be very few that would have the Word of God in homes. Some of you have been to Europe, and maybe you've seen the big lecterns that are chained to the pulpit. And why are they chained to the pulpit? They're chained to the pulpit because they're so valuable that they would have been stolen in the ancient world or the medieval world. And we have to understand that we live in a time where literally the device in your pocket has access to hundreds and thousands of sermons and Christian books and things that you could read, that you could spend the rest of your life reading. I mean, so much from the church fathers to the Puritans to the Reformers, all of that stuff is available to you to read. How are you measuring? How are you digging? How are you going and filling that basket with spiritually good things? And you say, well, Pastor, I'm worried that the basket will get too full. Jesus says that to fill it. And when it's full, it's going to have opportunity to be filled again. But there are others that just don't use it. There are those that more will be added, and there are others where it will be taken away because they're not using the basket. I mean, you think, well, Pastor, my prayers are not answered. They say, well, are you praying? Well, not really. Or, Pastor, I don't get much from my Bible reading. Are you reading diligently? Well, no. Pastor, I struggle with assurance. Well, are you seeking Christ? Pastor, I can't overcome the sin. Are you fighting sin? You see, congregation, Jesus Christ sets out a basket and he tells you to gather from this great harvest that he puts before you. And he says to pursue Christ and to mine the riches of the Word of God. And just watch that basket over and over be filled with good things. And what did the Pharisees do with their basket? They covered the light. They covered the light so that Jesus would not be seen. And Jesus says, take it. Let light shine. Let light fill the room. And take that basket and fill it with grace. Fill it with good things. William Hendrickson once said that Jesus gives according to his riches. He imparts grace upon grace. He not only pardons, but pardons abundantly. He delights in loving kindness. And when he loves the world. And when he gives his only begotten. And this, moreover, not only does he intercede for his people, but he ever lives to make intercession. Truly, he gives and gives and gives again. See, we're able to come and we're able to take that basket and grow in grace. You know, the Christian life is not magic. And sometimes I think people think that it is. You know, well, I'm a Christian, so I should just automatically be growing as a Christian. Well, in the Christian life, there is a law of nature that is also the law of supernature, and that is that we get out what we put in. God uses means, doesn't he? So you're called to seek Jesus Christ in the Scriptures, and you're called to pray even when you don't want to pray. And you're called to be diligent in your hearing, even when it's difficult. And you should look for Christ in the Psalms. And you should plead with God for a renewed heart and a renewed mind. And very simply, we use the means of grace that God has given, for they are our basket. They're our measure. And God says, take this. Fill this. Use this. And when it's full, we'll fill it again. You see, it's a great encouragement. Jesus Christ is the light of the world. And Jesus Christ calls upon us to take that basket that some have covered him with, and to fill it with light, to fill it with grace. And to come time and time again unto him who promises to be that light. Is a light to be put under a basket or under a bed and not on a stand. May Jesus Christ shine forth. Amen. Father, we thank you for the Lord Jesus. We thank you for grace and mercy. We pray that you would cause us to pursue Christ, even as we have had the Lord's Supper this morning and this evening. We've heard of light, the sowing of light, the measure of light. Cause us to pursue Jesus. Amen. Let's stand and we'll